Matthew chapter 4, verses 22. We're just going to continue our teaching on what it means to follow. How many of us are going to learn to be good followers, or are learning to be good followers? Are you going to learn to be a good follower? Amen. So Matthew chapter 4, verses 22. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Right? And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. One of the things that I would like to, or I'd like to speak about tonight, just shortly, are some of the vital virtues that are needed in. Oftentimes, many people do not have some virtues that will make them good followers, right? So, what I'm going to be doing is just helping you, all right, get to carve out these virtues that make you a great or a good follower. Matthew chapter 4, verses 22. And they immediately, right? And they immediately. Oftentimes, in following, there is an urgency. Have you met people who you probably are late to go to a place? Let's say a very important place, but they're just slow about the whole thing. And the funny thing is that they actually know that wherever you're supposed to be going to is a very important place to go. And then you realize, okay, you've taken your bath, you've had your irons, your clothes ironed, you had everything set, your shoe polished, and when you are done just putting on your trousers and shirt and tucking them in, they are now going to bath, and they are now looking for soap from the bathroom. And you stand there and you are boiling as to, I can't believe what is happening. Right? And then I'm probably begging you, oh, please, won't you iron my shirt for me? What happens is that they always fail to realize that there is something urgent on the scene. And let's say, for example, two of you are going for an interview, maybe different departments, and then maybe you leave. And then when you leave, you arrive there on time and you get to have the interview. And then it's their turn to go in to have the interview at the different departments, and it gets to you, or you get to know. And then probably they start saying, I'm stuck up in traffic, and the traffic is so heavy, and the traffic is so huge, and I don't know how I'm going to get there. Can you tell the people to wait for me? Obviously, you're going to lose the job. Right? You are going to lose the job. Why? Because you didn't place urgency on the matter at hand. Now, oftentimes in following, there is an urgency. Are you listening? there is a very small opportunity and a small time for you to be able to follow and to follow well. It's not too huge. It's not too huge. I mean, imagine Jesus making call of Peter, and he says, "Oh, you know, I'm coming. No urgency." But we see that in following, there's a twitch of urgency you must have. Your pastor calls you, and you see it as something that must be done now, now, now. Don't postpone, or don't postpone, you know, don't lay back and postpone activities. Don't lay back and postpone responsibilities given to you by your pastor. No, you must treat every instruction, every opportunity given you to do something as something that needs to be done now. So oftentimes, when people should be following, because they don't place that urgency on it, they get to realize that, oh, they're not becoming any better, because there is actually nothing good that comes out of their. So in following, you have to place priority on urgency. You must be able to understand it has to be done now. I've been given this to do now. I've been told this to do now. They want me here now. You must be urgency. I mean, you must have that, you know, heart that responds to things urgently. You understand that this opportunity given me is an opportunity to do something for God, and is an opportunity to be relevant in what God is doing. And so how you respond is that you respond urgently. Are you listening? Urgently. It's like there's something at stake. There's something that needs to be done. There's something that has to be accomplished. There's an instruction that has been given. You know, oftentimes you might give an instruction and you just see some people dragging their feet or lagging behind. You see, there is no urgency that comes with what they are supposed to do. And so all they do is just drag their feet, and it's like they are slow. It's like they're not fast at it. It's like they're not really doing what they've been instructed to do. But I can tell you, one of the very important traits of following and being a disciple is that you know how to respond urgently. 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 There is an urgency to your response. So don't just be someone that is just around and you're just having a nice time around. And it's like, hey, we don't want to be pushed. You know, this thing is not about being pushed. It's about just being, you know, it's about just having what God wants to do in your heart. And then you take time to do it. No, no. In following, there is a response. All right. Imagine Jesus calling them and saying that, hey, come, follow me. And do you know what they did? They immediately, that's supernatural in itself, is that they didn't say, we had something to do. They immediately. Now, urgency is also going to be seen in meetings. Urgency is going to be seen in meetings, because oftentimes in meetings, it's almost like a cyclical call your pastor makes for a gathering. So you find that they lag behind. They say a meeting is at 6 o'clock. see someone coming in at 7:30. What kind of urgency do you have? You see them walking into the meeting. It's like they're even modeling. It's like they're just modeling. It's like, oh yeah, we came to church, but they came in at 7:30. Right? There's no urgency in their hearts. Don't be like someone. I mean, don't be like that. If you have that kind of an attitude, it's time to change. Whenever you're getting in, right? Whenever you're making a response, whenever you are called upon, whenever there's a meeting, let's have that pressing urgency of what needs to be done. Let's see that urgency of the fact that we are here. We are here to have this. It's an urgency. An urgency on doing things. We say, come on, begin to pray in the spirit. That's when you see someone.
Say, Baba, ah, what a tired day. Mandula Maki, Sunday.
Meanwhile, the instructions, come on, lift up your voices in prayer. It's like there is not an urgency to respond. Even sometimes the way you even walk into a meeting shows how much urgency you place on that meeting. Are we going to be people of urgency? You see? So there is an importance of doing things swiftly. Right? It's like you are swift at it. It requires swift actions. It requires earnest actions. It requires persistent actions. It also requires insistent actions is to be urgent. You're swift, right? You're urgent, you're persistent, insistent. See that? Sometimes there's a prayer meeting going on and then some two people are just outside. They're not good followers, but their pastor is praying and leading people to pray. But because there's not that urgency placed on that kind of meeting or that urgency placed in that activity they do, they just lag behind. They, oh, you go, we are coming. We'll enter into very soon. And now they are praying. No, there must be that urgency. It's like when we see you, we have to see that urgency. Are you listening? It's one of the vital things we need to have. See, so, Coffee Jack, come and share with us something. Come and share with us something. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see, there is not that urgency to responding to issues. So you just see yourself lagging behind every time. It's like, you know, the master is walking. Your teacher is walking. You see someone lagging behind. And it's the same. Sometimes in meetings, because people are not that sensitive to what's going on in the spirit, there are some meetings, you're actually carried along into something. You see, you are carried along into something. Sometimes your teacher literally holds your hand in the realm of the spirit and he carries you into things. So when you see that fire, are you listening? When you see him on fire, when you see that atmosphere of prayer and fire, when you see that atmosphere, you know, of intensity, that's not the time to also lag behind. No, it's the time to hold on, cling on firmly, right? Is the word follow, right? to cling on firmly, right? And then you glide with him along. It's a time to cling on firmly and to glide with him along. So there is need for that urgency. When we see you, let's have that. Are you listening? Every time we see you, we must see that urgency. It's like you place urgency on following. You place urgency on instructions. You place urgency of, you know, thorough instructions given. You know, one of the signs of good soldiers, I really admire soldiers, is that kind of an agency. Is that they are swift. They are swift. They are swift. Swift at it. Swift at it. Like, before you realize, what they should do has been done. So immediately, Jesus said, come. Immediately, they left off their nets and then they followed. Immediately, they left off the ship and their father and their fishing nets and they followed. Is that urgency in following? That swiftness. Somebody's becoming swift. Yeah, somebody's becoming swift and fast. Right? Yeah, fast. You will know how to respond to things urgently. You say, come. You show that agency. Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. I'm at it. Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. I'm going at it. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'm going to do it. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I've done it. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'm on it. I'm doing it. I'm just getting ahead to do it. Is that kind of an agency that we need? So, we must learn this vital virtue, are you listening? Of being urgent. Of being urgent. Of having that insistency, persistency. Always swiftly responding to issues. It has to be swift. It has to be fast. It has to be right on time. You know, there's many things that I've had to change about myself. Naturally, I'm not somebody that likes to be swift or that likes to do things very fast. Do you understand? Yes, naturally, that's not the kind of person I am. Naturally, I will want to be slow, you know, and have time to think about it and, you know, look at it in a way. And it's like, okay, not this one, right? But every day, I learn to realize that there is an agency. When I first started work at my main place, I was like, no, this thing is not for me. This thing is not for me. I mean, the whole place is giddy, 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 up and down, moving here and there. I mean, swift, you know, people calling, people say, please, kind. The phone is ringing. Everything is. I'm like, what's going on here? I said, no, this thing is not for me. It's not for me. It's not for me. Standing, moving here and there, sending people instructed. I'm like, no, this thing is not for me. I mean, one customer calling you from here, another calling you from here, another saying, please check this thing for me. And sometimes I'll just be there and I'll say, what's going on here? It's not for me. Then I sat down quietly. I said, okay, why don't you learn to be swift rather than say it's not for you and you like to be slow and calculative and very, you know, intuitive. I said, okay, let me just learn how to be fast. So, I mean, I remember, you know, just saying, okay, I'm going to learn how to be swift and fast. Right? It means I should be able to answer a call, right? And still be writing out something I need to write. Right? Yeah. And the funny thing is that we have three phones. So, you know, one can be ringing, another is ringing somewhere. And you must be able to pick one, speak to the other. Just before the person ends, you pick another. And then somebody is also there getting angry because, why? I'm standing here. You're not attending to me. Someone is calling from home. You're attending. I was like, oh, then it means that that's a loophole. It's time to learn. So I said, no, I'm going to be swift. I'm going to be swift. I'm going to be able to do something at another time and do it fast within a short possible time. And attend to a patient within a short possible time. Right? I said, okay, then that's something I have to learn. So I had to learn to be a lot more faster. And that's something that not many people like to do, especially people who have not been taught. Eh? When you are a Holy Ghost person, you are very calm, calculated, slow. You want to do things at your own pace, or you need to feel a feeling before you do it. It's not like that there. A swiftness, an urgency, right? An urgency, an urgency, an urgency. It's like you place premium on doing things swiftly all the time. It's the sign of a good, is a sign of a good leader, is a sign of a good follower. Yes, both signs. It's like you, it's like everything has to be done. Right? So, this is one thing that you must learn, a virtue you must have, is that you must be able to immediately, as you are led or as you are instructed or as you are giving, immediately. 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 Now, not tomorrow. And many people are very good at procrastination, like just swifting us thinking, okay, tomorrow, okay, tomorrow, okay, tomorrow, next. Tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow, 5 days time, next week, next 5 weeks, next month, next 2 months, next 3 months. Before you realize the year has ended, you've not done anything. And then you try to bring that same attitude with being a follower. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. So learn this virtue. Are you listening? In attending to responsibilities of your pastor, learn to do it promptly. It has to be urgent. Second virtue, Exodus chapter 24, verse 13. How many of you are going to learn to be people who do things urgently? Right? It's that you are swift. You are swift. You are swift. You are swift. You are fast. Exodus chapter 24, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14. Exodus chapter 24, verse 13. And Moses rose up. And he his minister Joshua. And Moses went up into the Mount of God. Moses rose, and Joshua, his attendant, also rose. And then Moses went up to the mountain of God. In fact, the trust between Moses and his servant is so great that Moses brings Joshua up to keep watch before his meeting with God at the top of Mount Sinai. So, you can imagine how much Moses trusted Joshua as one that followed or accompanied him. So, as a disciple, Joshua accompanied his teacher as far as the boundaries would allow. And then, watch what happens. Moses ascends into the mountain. Verse 13. And what did Joshua do? Bible says Joshua pitched his tent and stayed for the whole 40 days that Moses spent on the mountain. So, right there in verse 13, Moses goes up and his minister went up into the mount of the Lord. Right? And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man any matters to you, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount. And a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode up in Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called out unto Moses into the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights. Joshua is willing to wait alone for 40 days. While Moses witnesses the glory of God. Joshua is willing to wait for 40 days. While Joshua is experiencing the glory of God. An important virtue to have in following is patience, to follow. Right? Is that patience to follow? Is that patience to follow? You know, many people are not patient to follow. They sir, we've been with you for 2 years now, and 2 years is such a long time, you know, and we are tired of following, because we cannot wait any longer. You know? And we are tired. We are impatient about this. So, sir, we want to leave and go and find something else to do for our lives, because ministry is done in different ways, sir. You know, we can go to the market and still be market apostles and still be market prophets and still make plenty of money. Well, you know, we don't worry too much about serving the Lord like the way you say, you know. And say, you know, we've been praying for so long. Every time we've been praying. I mean, we started 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours. We have been praying, you know, and we are sincerely, we can pray these kinds of prayers. So if you can give us 2 hours opportunities, then we are going to be okay. You see, you are not patient in following. And that is why not many people can receive all there is when they follow, because they're not patient. Patience to go through different phases and stages of the work of the ministry. You know, the ministry is in phases, and phases come, and there are different phases. There are going to be phases where we might not have our own meeting place. There's also going to be phases where we will have a meeting place. There are going to be phases where we will start to build. And there are going to be phases where multiple other thousands of churches, if the Lord tarries, you know, are going to be put up. There are going to be phases of the work. Phases of the work that we are involved in. And oftentimes, not many people are interested in being part of that very beginning stage or phase of the work of the ministry. Not many people. See, after I spoke to someone, I said, go get me a classroom. You know, go look around. Get me a class. Doesn't matter whether JHS, SHS, doesn't just get me a place. Right? Because there is a phase to the work of the ministry. Somebody who is not patient at waiting for their man of God to grow and to see what God has called them to do, they find themselves hopping and hopping and hopping, and they eventually miss out on what God can do in their lives. Right? So, there are phases to the work of the ministry God has called us to. As a ministry, we are in a phase. And we'll keep moving in phases and phases and phases. Listen, it's a long road. It's a long road. And some of you, I taught you the gospel. I'll be there to baptize your children. I'll be there to pray for them. I'll be there to pray for your home. I'll be there to pray for. There are phases of ministry. Phases of life, phases of different things that God is going to be doing to bless your homes, whatever it is. So many times people are patient. Do you understand? They're not patient. They're saying, we can't sit in a classroom and we want a place that's more air conditioned like, and we want a place where there are many instruments so that we can experience. You are not wise. You're not wise. You're not like Joshua, who can wait, right? Who can sit down for 40 days. Do you know what it means, 40 days? It's not like, I don't know. You know, he's just there and he's waiting for Moses. All right. He's waiting for Moses to receive that master plan. That master plan. So in ministry, God's going to be speaking to your teacher. He's going to be speaking to him at different phases of what's going to be happening in the work. But you, as the one that follows, must be patient while he receives and receives from God. So you need to be patient. Are you listening? Be patient. See, don't let your heart be so troubled. Listen, what God has called us to do. What God has called us to do. So be patient. Are you listening? Be patient in following. Be patient. Be patient. Be able to sit down like the way Joshua did for 40 days. And he's still waiting. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have any whatever to get interested in. This is my teacher, Joshua. Right? So he's able to wait as long as he does because he's eager to glean from the wisdom of Moses' leadership. He's able to say, no, I will wait for this thing to happen so that I can have understanding as to what God is doing. Do you understand? I can have understanding to what God is doing. I'm telling you, I can have understanding to what God is doing. I can receive of what God is doing. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait. Sometimes even waiting is your teacher telling you, this is not the time to release an album. So, but sir, you know, God has called me and he has anointed me. And he has called me and he has put his grace on me. And, you know, I feel in my hearts of hearts that, you know, there is an album that God has put on my heart. You're not patient. You're not patient. Sometimes I tell people that there are great gifts I see around. Great gifts I see around. People with different things the Lord can do, can cause them to do. But I tell them, wait. Wait here. Wait here. Wait here. I tell them, we are all making disciples. Make disciples too. So, I'm not called to make disciples. I'm called to be a music minister. No, that's not being smart. Right? So, Joshua has this virtue of waiting. He has this virtue of waiting. It's like he can wait. He can wait. In spite of the difficulty, you know, just hidden in the task of staying high above the mountain alone for 40 days, Joshua is prepared to wait for Moses. Sometimes you must be ready to wait for your leader. Yeah, sometimes. You must be ready to wait. You say, I'm here forever. That's waiting. Not that I'm here, but in 2 years' time, I'm going to start my ministry. You are not a disciple that follows to the end. Imagine Peter coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, you know, I've been with you for 3 years and I've seen all the miracles. In fact, the day you sent me out with Bartholomew, I opened a blind eye and I opened a blind eye. So, Jesus, your ministry is what? Jesus is saying, oh, but my ministry is Jesus' ministry. Okay, mine is Peter ministry. That's my own. Because, yes, I've been with you for 3 years and I'm going to start. God has put it in my... Oh, you are telling lies. You're telling lies. God has not put it in your heart. That God has not called you to do that yet. Say, yes, but you know, I also have a ministry. And, you know, even the last time I prayed for somebody who was sick and the person became well. And so I have to leave, you know. I'm now grown and I'm growing. You know, I'm an old man. I'm 65 years now. It's that you are not patient. 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 You are not patient with the work that God is doing. You are not patient. You are not patient. So there are some people who are going to stand on the sand, and there is a boat that needs to be sailing on the sea. There are people who will drag it from the sand until it gets sailing on the sea. And there are also some people who say, hey, now it's going to sail. Then they hold it. Now it's sailing. We know you. You cannot be foundational like this. No. Listen, it is a great privilege for us to be able to do this. I'm telling you, it's a great privilege for you to be here, for me to be involved with this. Because you know why? God's going to preserve our names and our labor for Him into eternity. Listen, it's going to be on earth here, and it's going to be in eternity if the Lord tarries. Yeah, I'm telling you. Many of you, what you don't know is that God is just giving you an opportunity to do something for Him so He can say, so-and-so did something for me. Yeah, that's the opportunity He has given you. And it's in following. In following. It's true. In following. It's in following. You can fight it. It's not important. It's in following. I'm telling you, it's in following. It's in following. So, you get to realize that patience is a virtue that's needed. Sometimes even patience in natural things. Patience in natural things. Patience in natural things. Patience in natural things. So, there was sits here. Say, please, I have this place to go. Say, please, I'm going. Say, please, I'm going. Say, please, I want to go and sleep. Say, please, I want to go and rest. Say, please, I need to rest. Say, please. No. Sometimes you just must be patient. Are you listening? So, he's spending most of his time waiting for his teacher. Waiting for his teacher. Spend most of your time waiting for your teacher. Are you listening? Spend most of your time. Spend most of your time. Spend most of your time. Be always ready to wait. You know, let me tell you something. There's a way you can so love your pastor that following does not become a difficult thing to do. It's because you love him. And you must learn to do it. It's like you just love his company. It's not like you are praying that, Charlie, you should go and so that we can also go. Say, please, we want to go. But your pastor does not want you to go. See, doesn't want you to go. You can so love the one that you follow that following is not difficult. You see the way when you love a girl, following her is not difficult. Even when you, even when she says, please, can you accompany me to the supermarket? Your father has sent you. Your father has sent you. But you intentionally, you know, block your father and say, let my father die of what he has sent me to get. You see, daddy asked for this one. Whatever will happen to me will happen to me when I go home. I will accompany this girl. Say, yeah, please, I'm going to the supermarket. Can you help me? Can you go with me? Say, yeah, I can go with you. Say, but I thought you said your father, you know, should. Your father sent you. Oh, my father. Oh no, it's not anything. Meanwhile, you know in your heart that it's something that your father sent you to do. Oh no, it's not anything. It's not anything. My father is. Oh, I can attend to it later. Let's go to the supermarket. And maybe at that point in time, let's say, for example, you took your father's car out. He needs the car to go somewhere. Say, no, don't worry. I'll drive you to the... You see, it's because of the love you have for that girl. That's why. That's the reason why you're able to go and, you know, do this thing that your father has asked you not to do. You love her so much. You are crazy about her. You can't do anything. So you choose to disobey your father over, you know, doing what he's asked you to do. So you see, love is a very powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. I'm telling you, it's a very, very powerful thing. Yeah. So when you truly love somebody, you are very patient with them. When you truly love somebody, you're very patient with them. When you truly love somebody, you don't even see wrongs. That's the truth. You don't even see wrongs. When you truly love somebody, you don't see their wrongs. You don't see the things they do as wrong. Because you are blinded by love. You are blinded by love. You can't see anything. You say love is blind. Of course, can't be true. You are blinded. You can't see anything. Because you love. So one of the things that will help you also to be patient, right, is to respond to things urgently. I mean, one of the things that will help you to even be patient is to walk in love. So you will walk, right? You will urgently respond to things. You'll be patient. You have this ability to say, I'm going to wait. This is where I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to be. You don't have anything to do. You're just there. Right? She said, what? She said, I'm going to be patient. Number three, you walk in love towards your pastor. You walk in love towards your pastor. You walk in love towards your pastor. Right? There are many sacrifices unknown to you that your pastor makes for you. You have no idea. You have no idea. You have no idea, I'm telling you. You have no idea. You have no idea. Some of you think you are the only one that has secular dreams. Oh boy, I had secular dreams too. I had secular dreams too. But you see, we can't follow after those dreams because we know life's at stake. Lives are at stake. Right? And like a warden man that stands and that directs people, this is the way. This is the way. This is the way. Pass here. Pass here. Move here. Enter this place. Don't go. Hey, hey, hey. Say no, please leave me alone. I'm going my way. Hey, hey, don't go. Don't. My heart. Don't go that direction. Say no, I want to go. I want to be here. Allow me. I know what to do. I say, hey, this. But that's how God has created it. He gives some people the grace to direct others. Say, don't go this way. Don't pass this way. Say, baby, I'll go. I want to. I have my own things. I want to do my own things. Say, no, please, don't go this way. Don't go. Anytime I preach to you sermons like this, I beseech you. That's a beckoning. I beckon on you every time. These messages I teach you, finding God's will, you know, following it, fulfilling it, teaching it, you know, reminding you of ministry and what you have to do, because maybe I'll spend my whole life doing this. I'm telling you, my whole life. I'll spend my whole life doing this thing over and over, just telling people, don't go there. Please come this way. Don't pass here. Please enter this way. Don't go there. Come this way. You don't need to enter that place. You don't need to enter that place. You must be moving in this direction. That's where you're supposed to go. You'll find some people just play deaf to it. See, these are great sacrifices that we make. Right? I'm telling you, not even money can buy them. It's when we get into eternity that we'll see. Eh? We'll get into eternity that we'll see. I remember, you know, I was sharing a story today, you know, while I was teaching, and then I said, there's this interesting case that had happened, you know, and the man came all over and was crying on social media as to the fact that he had met somebody. Apparently, that's what he says. So, I'd met somebody in a dream, and it looks like the person just died today, and he has a dream about it. And he says that the person meets him and is crying in the dream. The person meets him and is crying and is crying and is crying and is crying and say, please, please. Where I'm going to is dark. Can you help me? Can you help me? Where I'm going to is dark. Where I'm going to, there's no light. Can you help me? People of God, there are people that will not fulfill God's plan. They're not here, but you are fulfilling God's plan. People that will not fulfill God's plan because they did not listen to these instructions like this while they were on the earth. They chose what paths to go. So Jesus, he's a way, he's a truth. He's like, forget about that food. That Jesus is not correct. He's not correct. And then right there, they're on their way to destruction. It's when you are going to die that you see that. This thing is real. This thing is really real. And you're saying, pass here. That's the real thing. Move here. That's the real thing. That's the real way. Real way. It's a real thing. So, when you follow, are you listening? Follow wholeheartedly. There are men that God puts that grace on to lead people into his plan. And I believe I have that grace. Because if I didn't have it, all what is happening now will not happen. I believe I have that grace. I believe I have that grace to lead you into what God is doing. So what you must do is to follow. Follow with all urgency. Are you listening? Follow with all urgency. Follow with all love. Follow with all patience. Are you listening? Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Before we go. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Interesting. God is going to help you see that there is great results that come with following. Yes, great results that come with following. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Is a patience. He was always there. Did not move. Did not go anywhere. Did not say, I had a birthday party. No, he did not move. He did not move. Joshua is prepared to wait and not be anywhere. Oftentimes, every true leader will tell you they are very confident about people who naturally know what it means to be patient with them. Confident people. They are confident about those people. It's not like, please hurry up. We have some things to do. We have other important things to do. Hurry up. We need to go. Hurry up. We must go. Hurry up. Say, you are taking too much of our time. Hurry up. We must go. You're not even busier than me. You see that? You're not busier than me. I have more packed schedules than you have. At least you know I'm responsible for you. So that's even a packed schedule to be responsible for you. Right? So I want you to walk in this. Right? Three virtues that you must need and that you have to follow, that you need to have in order to be a good follower. other virtues will culminate around these three virtues. It will make you a great follower. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why many ministries are not really doing well is because they have several heads. You can't have a ministry do well with several heads. Right? No. Everybody does what they want to do. We don't have that over here. Are you listening? So you will walk in this consciousness. Walk in this consciousness. Learn to do things immediately. Right? Immediately. Walk in this consciousness. Walk in love. Towards your pastor. I'm talking about love towards your pastor. Because oftentimes we're used to treating love outside. Say, love your neighbor. How about your pastor? Say, you must love your neighbor. Ah, my neighbor, but your pastor. Father, thank you. These ones are learning to respond with things in urgency. Yes, they are. They are. And they'll learn patience. Patience through the years. For there are many years ahead. Patience to be able to follow through the years. And they're also going to walk in love towards their pastor. Yes, they're going to have this. It's like the reason why they're around is not because of an anointing, or it's not because of a power, or not because they were drawn by some certain kind of charisma, which all of these are good. But, you know, deep down in your hearts and in their hearts, there's just going to be a love. That even if these things were not there, they'll still be there. Even if these things were not present, they'll still be present. It's like they generally just love to be around. That's all. They enjoy companies. Thank you for wonderful, wonderful disciples. I'm telling you, if I had the opportunity to disciple any group of people again, I would choose all of you again and again and again and again and again and again. I'm not saying this to whatever. Yeah. Because you are precious. You are precious gifts. You are wonderful gifts. I'm telling you. You are wonderful gifts. You are precious gifts to me. Yes, you are precious. I'll not choose anybody. I'm telling you. You say, okay, choose. I won't choose anyone. I just love the people God's giving me. I love them. I cherish them. And that's why they'll be good followers. They'll be good followers. They'll learn to follow. They'll follow all the time. They'll give of their all. They'll be urgent, full of patience. They see brightness. When there isn't anything like brightness, they see brightness. When there's nothing even like, you know, light, they see light all around. Yes. Yes. I believe this are people the Lord has given me. And so, you endeavor to walk in these three virtues of the follower or of a follower. There are many other virtues, but I trust that God wants us having these three virtues for now, and then probably later we could add many other virtues you need to have. Right? If you love, you will not lie. If you love, you always be present. If you love, you give of your best. If you love, you be kind. If you love, you be meek. If you love, you be gentle. If you love, you be full of long suffering, which is patience. If you love, you do things urgently. If you love, you will find yourself do the right things always.